Today, we are finishing up this short series that we've been in called Teach Us to Pray. We've been examining in detail, at great depth, the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples, his followers to pray in Luke chapter 11. It's the Lord's Prayer, but it's sort of a condensed version compared to Matthew. And we've been asking the question, what can we learn from this? We assume that we need to learn to pray, that we still have things to learn. So we've been asking, what can we learn and how can we pray differently? And I know I've been blessed. I've learned a lot in this, my exploration of this passage, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. Today we finish up where the prayer finishes up, and that is with the avoidance of temptation. And if you're visiting with us or you've missed a sermon here or there, you can check out our website. All of them are on there, and you can go back and listen to those there. So without further ado, let's get to the passage itself. And as I have done in the past, I'm going to invite you to read with me when we actually get to the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray, because while we're together, why not pray together in the way that Jesus instructs us? So we read there in verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, and I invite you to say these words with me, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So this model prayer Jesus gives us ends with one final request, as it were. Lead us not into temptation. Which sort of begs the question, what does temptation look like? What does temptation feel like? Maybe even, what does temptation taste like? Which is actually the question that was asked in a short video that I want to share with you to sort of get our brains thinking about temptation. It's actually quite fitting because it features some kids on a day when we're celebrating kids. And so just a 3-minute video, and I want you to watch this video and think about temptation, your own experience with it, and just see if there are things that maybe don't connect with the idea of what it means to be tempted. And so I hope I've talked long enough. Maybe we didn't. Is everybody ready for the video sound-wise? I think we are. Great. So look at temptation through the lens of something that's simply called the marshmallow test.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. Thank you. right, so I'm going to leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
So many portraits, I think, of temptation in just that 3 minutes. I love, you know, the kid who says, I'm just going to stare it down. It's fine. I'm just going to stare it down, right? Or the kid who's like, I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to touch it. I'm just going to feel it a little bit over here. Or I'm just going to play with it. And if a little tiny bit comes off while I'm playing, that's not eating it. I'll just eat that tiny little scrap, right? My favorite might be the kid about halfway through. And it looks like he has it halfway in his mouth and he goes, no, like I can't. But actually, my favorite is the little red-haired girl who just starts eating it before they leave the room. Like, she's not even pretending. Not even pretending. So let's talk about temptation. The first thing that I noticed that was actually troubling to me that I want to trouble you with today, is it strange at all that part of the prayer Jesus teaches us to pray, we're supposed to say to God, lead us not into temptation? Like, is there ever a time when God would want to lead us into temptation that we have to tell him, hey, I would prefer you not to lead me into temptation? Which led me down this sort of spiral of questions that I want to trouble you with today. Because I thought, is there a difference between being tempted and being tested? Are they the same? Are they different? And I thought about, you know, there's the story in the Gospels where Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. Tempted? Both? Somehow? We're going to read a passage in a second from James 1, and in that chapter it says, we should consider testing to be pure joy. Anybody consider testing to be pure joy? Not that I'm aware of. And if we follow these instructions and we say, God, please don't lead us into temptation, are we saying in some manner, God, don't make me follow Jesus in the way that Jesus had to face temptation? I don't want to follow Jesus in that way, which makes no sense for Jesus to tell us to pray in that way where we'd say to God, don't make me follow Jesus like that. So you can see how my brain just kept going round and round and round and round. I think at the very least, one thing we can glean and gather is that this prayer is our way of saying, God, please do not lead me into temptation that's of my own design and desire. When it's temptation that is strictly me, going after what I want or think I need. Help me to avoid a temptation. I mean, James 1 is really clear. There's no mystery to it. When tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So just to be clear, God does not tempt you. Full stop, end of sentence, conclusion of idea. God is not in the business of tempting you. Now, will he test you? That's a conversation for another time. But God is not interested in tempting you. But how are we tempted? We're told we are tempted when our own evil desires, when something within our flesh drags us away, and I love that imagery, drags us away from what we're supposed to be, and we are enticed by those own desires that can come from within our own flesh, within our own nature. And I really like it that we're told that we need to avoid temptation because it's part of a sequence of events that then will likely happen. Avoid temptation because temptation, when it's conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, full grown, leads to death. In other words, if you're telling me you want to avoid Z and your plan is just to avoid Z, I might say to you, you know what a better plan might be? Avoid X and Y. You might not actually have to deal with Z. So one quick, really simple example. Let's say that you come to me and you say, Pete, I am a shopaholic. I can't help it. I buy everything I lay my eyes on and I want to stop. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to spend less money on it. Well, that's fine. That's a decent plan. But you're just giving to Z. I've got an idea. Don't go to the stores where you tend to spend way too much money. Or if you're an online shopaholic and you get an email that screams, huge clearance sale, guess what? Don't open the email. Like, if you want to avoid Z, it's a better idea to start by avoiding X and Y. Because they will progressively, by sequence, lead you to where you do not want to go. But no, God does not tempt us. Matter of fact, one of the resources I read this week said that Jesus is using similar language to other ancient Jewish prayers. And it suggests that lead us not into temptation really means let us not sin when we become tested or tempted. Because friends, temptation and testing, they will come. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And I think this is even true when we are following the pathway that God lays out for us. I would go so far as to say this. Sometimes, maybe even often, there is actually an overlap between the pathway God has for us and temptation. Sometimes it's not avoidable. And I don't think, therefore, God wants us to not follow the path he has for us. I think he's just saying, there may be times when you need to endure temptation along the path I'm laying out for you. We see this in the life and ministry of Jesus himself. So in those moments when temptation and testing might come because the path of walking with God overlaps with the path of being exposed to temptation, it becomes unavoidable. And we need to seek to follow the Holy Spirit. So that during those times of exposure to temptation, it doesn't give birth and follow that sequence on down the line. Jesus himself talks about temptation. One of the times he talks about it is in Matthew 26 when he says to his followers, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you're familiar with Chapter 26 of Matthew, you know that Jesus prays or gives this teaching when? Where is he at this time? He's in a garden. And he's saying to Peter, and therefore all of his disciples, what I need you to do is watch and pray. He's preparing to face his own temptations and testing and trials. He's sweating drops of blood, and he simply says to them, hey, I need you to watch and pray. But what are they doing instead? They're falling asleep. And the immediate context of Peter is, I think, Jesus saying to Peter, you need to watch and pray. Your spirit might be willing, but your flesh, because he knows that in just a few moments in the same garden, Peter will be tempted to act violently to defend Jesus. How does that one go? Not great. And he knows that Peter will eventually be warming himself by a fire near where Jesus is being tried. And he's going to have the temptation to deny that he ever knows Jesus. And how does that go? Not great. And it's no wonder, because Jesus says, Peter, watch and pray. And how many of those things does Peter do successfully? Zero. Zero. Watch and pray. It's an interesting combination. I would say that not falling into temptation involves both awareness and preparation. Both. Watch, be alert, and pray, be prepared. They go together. If you or I am surprised by temptation, if temptation hits us suddenly, if we're not aware of it and we're not prepared for it, how good do you think our chances are of enduring it? Not good. You might be able to endure if you've prepared but not been alert, or if you're alert and not prepared. But boy, if you aren't aware and you're not prepared, it's no wonder that we follow in the pattern that we see in Peter's life when we give in, when we fall into temptation. And Jesus says, listen, your spirit might be willing, but your flesh is weak, and you need both. Because it's not enough to just want to avoid temptation and to fall into it. It's just not. You need both desire and strength. You need desire, you need the will, you need the want to avoid temptation or to endure it, but you need the strength to do so. You need both of those things. Listen, you may want to do 100 push-ups in a row without stopping. You may want to drive a golf ball 300 yards. You may want to run a marathon, but in any of those situations, do you think wanting to do it is enough to get it done? We laugh because of course it isn't. You can have a spirit that desires to do those things. But I'm going to tell you what, and I can't speak for all of you. Maybe there are some bodybuilders or marathon runners today in the house. But generally speaking, your flesh is not strong enough to do those things. Because your flesh needs trained to meet your spirit where your spirit wants to go. It needs to be disciplined. We need our spirit to be willing, but we need our flesh, our humanity, to be strengthened. I read this week a quote I want to share with you. It's fantastic. The thought of this prayer, the thought seems to be that we should be constantly aware of our own proneness to wander and fall into sin. We should ask the Lord to keep us from falling into sin, even if we ourselves might want to do it. We should pray that the opportunity to sin and the desire to do so should never coincide. The prayer expresses a healthy distrust of our own ability to resist temptation. And to that last sentence, I give a hearty amen. Yeah, this prayer expresses a feeling, a hearty distrust of our own ability to resist temptation. And I like that idea, even when you want to do it, because sometimes that's when we want to pray the least, because the want grows so big. Say, God, I want to do this, but I know that that is not your calling for me. And temptation is usually not something that's like a big flashing billboard. It's usually a lot sneakier than that, a lot slimier than that, a lot more stealthy than that. First Peter talks about what temptation looks like, and it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. When you think of a lion, what do you think of? I know when I think of a lion, I think like king of the beasts, the king of the jungle, like the strength, like the roaring lion, loud and proud. And for the most part, that might be true. I don't know why. I think of Mufasa. I think of a lion, like Mufasa from Lion King. Like that is the lion that just sort of comes to mind, the loud, proud, protective, right? And a lot of times that's true, but not when they're on the prowl, not when they're seeking something to devour. I read online this week that lions have a calculated hunting strategy. They stay hidden in the grass and let the prey come close to them. And then they make very stealthy and slow movements towards their prey. And when they're close enough to strike, that's when they charge upon their prey quickly. And friends, that's the way temptation works. It lies in wait. It lets you come close. It's stealthy and sneaky. N.T. Wright says this, evil is slippery and slimy and hard to pin down. It creeps up on us, sometimes even in the middle of us enjoying something that's really good, and attacks us and overtakes us. It's sneaky. It's slimy. It's stealthy. Which is why we need to be alert. Be prepared. And when we find ourselves in moments of temptation, we sometimes, at least I ask myself, God, where are you in this? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, it feels like God, and when the moment of temptation comes, God sort of steps away and is like, well, let's see how this is going to go. Almost like the woman in the marshmallow video, like, you know, the moment of temptation, then we'll see how you do. I'm going to step over here and let you figure this out. Is that where God is? Is that what God is doing during our times of temptation? 1 Corinthians 10 tells us differently. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what's common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There's so much we learn about temptation from just these few verses. And I will say it maybe one of the most powerful ones, and the one that really stuck in my mind this week as I was preparing is this. One of the most tempting things to think about your own temptation is also one of the most demoralizing and destructive. And it's this. I've got to be the only one who struggles like this. We are so tempted to look at our own internal struggle with temptation and say to ourselves, you're the only one who struggles with this. You're the only one who struggles like this with this. And if you've ever thought that, I have one word for you today. No! It's a lie! And I want you to know that, because what happens is when we think of our own temptation and we tell ourselves, no one else struggles with this or like this, that's a lie that makes us feel ashamed. We feel a sense of shame that we are so much different than other people who've got it all together, and we sort of collapse in on ourselves. I want to tell you that your brothers and sisters in Christ are sharing the same kinds of struggles. We just don't talk about it because that would be uncomfortable. So we all hide in our own temptation and tell ourselves that we should be ashamed because nobody else struggles like this. It is a lie from the enemy that seeks to put more distance between us and God and us and one another. Don't believe it. We also read that God says that he won't tempt us beyond what we can bear. And sometimes we twist this around and we say, oh, sometimes people will say, there's a lot of bad things that are happening. I just wish God would stop sending me bad things because this is more than I can bear. That's not what that's about. Sometimes bad things happen because other human beings with free will make poor decisions that affect your life. Sometimes bad things happen because we live in a broken world. That's not what this is about. But it is true that God looks at us and he knows what we can bear. And he says, I won't give you more than you can shoulder in this area of temptation, which leads us, at least me, to a conclusion that I don't like, that my threshold for dealing with temptation is probably higher than I realize. I wish it was not. I wish God would look at me and go, oh man, okay, listen, he can't really handle much. Let's white glove this situation. Let's be really careful because he probably is not going to be able to handle much at all. I wish that were the case. But God in his wisdom knows where that line, that threshold is for each one of us. And if you wonder, where is God in the midst of my temptation? Has he stepped out of the room and just is watching me from a distance? No, we're told that God is in it with you and he's providing for you a way out or a way to endure. He does not abandon you in your temptation. He is alongside of you, offering you provision if we will simply be alert and prepared. So I was thinking about all of this stuff and thinking about that one line about temptation in that prayer and then about all these other things we learn from Scripture. So I came up with sort of an extended prayer for temptation. And I'm just going to share it with you. If it's helpful, great. If not, I'm only going to waste like 30 seconds of your time. So here we go. This is what I just came up with. God, I know I should never get too confident in the firmness of my footing in the fight against temptation. I take seriously the potential of my own desires to drag me away and entice me. But it's good to remember that I'm not alone. My experiences of temptation are common and therefore not a source of shame. In my struggle, I trust your faithfulness. I trust in your wisdom to know what I can handle. Help me be prepared to face temptation, alert to its stealthy tactics, aware of your providing presence, and strong enough to endure by the power of your Holy Spirit. I know that kind of prayer I find helpful. We recognize the reality we deal with, but the greatness of our God that is alongside of us. But here's the thing, even if we're prepared, even if we're aware and alert, even if the Spirit is willing, what is also true, the flesh is weak and we fall and we fail. We fall and we fail. And N.T. Wright says this, our prayers about temptation, prayers about deliverance from evil must always bring us back with awe and gratitude to the foot of the cross. And you might say, why is that? Here's the reason. Hebrews chapter 4. Because we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. So then let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence that this Jesus has been tempted in every way like us, like we have been, and yet did not fall and did not fail, and then reaches out to us and says, I invite you into my righteousness. I invite you in past your falling and your failing. I extend to you and invite you. We just got done singing it. Holiness is Christ in me. Righteousness is Christ in me. Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Resist. Be alert. Be prepared. But friends, you will fall and you will fail. It might be before you leave this room. It might be before you get home. It almost certainly will be before you fall asleep tonight. But when you fail and fall, know that you can fail and fall onto the grace of Jesus. Last thing that I have for you is this. I couldn't get away from this idea, so again, I want to trouble you with it. Because I kept thinking about that video, about the marshmallow video. And I wonder, like, do you remember what gave them, if there was any hope at all of avoiding the temptation, what was it? It was when that lady came back in the room that they would have not one marshmallow, but two. In other words, they would have something better. So this is what I came up with. Is it possible that we succumb to temptation so often because we don't actually believe that there's something better? I had that thought. I didn't like it, but I had it. Because I think that's sometimes how I live. We give in because we say to ourselves, I don't know. I don't know if there's something better. And I want to invite you to consider every temptation is an opportunity to do one of two things. Practice contentment with what you already have, or practice a faith that God indeed has something better beyond the temptations that want to drag you away. So, a couple things to think and pray through as we finish our time together today, studying Scripture and allowing it to sink into our hearts. And these things are in your bulletin if you want to take them home and continue to look at them throughout the week. Here's the first one. What kinds of evil desires are you most often tempted by? How are you commonly dragged away by those sorts of temptations? Secondly, which is a bigger area of growth for you, an ongoing awareness of temptation or a prayerful preparation for temptation? Because I think that each of us can probably at least grow in one of those two areas. Third, when you consider your own struggles with temptation, do they create feelings of shame within you? And I just want to repeat, it's a lie. Our temptations are common. Lastly, ask God to give you a sense of contentment with what you already have and a hunger for what He has for you that's better than what your temptations might draw you toward. So, as usual, I'm going to cycle through those one more time as we have just a moment of silence and reflection. As soon as you latch onto one that sort of God wants to speak to you, you can close your eyes, bow your head, whatever's helpful. But at the end of that moment of reflection, I'm going to go ahead and pray to close our time together. Father, today we are thankful that you do not abandon us in our temptation, that you are alongside of us, offering us a way out or a way to endure. We acknowledge that it's our own evil desires that drag us away and entice us. And we know, we confess today that we need a better awareness of temptation as it lurks in our lives. We need better preparation prayerfully for the temptation, the testing that is certainly to come. But we recognize today, God, that our temptations are not reason for shame. That we are not the only one that struggles like we struggle. So help us to understand that your grace is at work in the middle of it. And that every opportunity that we have through temptation is an opportunity to say that you are enough. Or it's an opportunity to say, that God, that there has to be something better. Something better that you provide. We pray all these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right, it's been great to be with you guys. And as you leave this place, just leave knowing that there is one who tempts you, but there is one who calls you out, to calls you to be a part of His plan and His kingdom. And so be aware and alert and stay on the path that God has for you this week. Amen. Go in God's grace today.